I have the one and only Mike McDonald sitting in the studio. So we're going to play some, well, you know what we're going to play? We're going to play some Rolling Stones, and we're going to come back. And we're going to talk to Mike McDonald and find out. I want to know, you know, how he got into music. So I'm going to ask him all these questions when we come back. This is Can You Hear Me Knocking, Rolling Stones on Coral FM.
Yeah!
Okay, we're back. And of course, that was the Rolling Stones, Can't You Hear Me Knocking? The 7 minute 16 second version. Is that right, Mike?
I think it was 7:14, but I might be wrong on that one.
7:14.
It's only 2 seconds.
Wow.
A little dithering never hurts.
That's true. So Mike McDonald is here because I'm in the middle of a 2 week sort of, you know, promotion for a show that's coming up at the Wax this Saturday, which is Kathmandu, the Bob Seger songbook. Bob Young was here last week with Jay. What is Jay's last name? J.T. Hine and Paul Breen. And they were live in the studio last week. And this week, it's the Beggar's Banquet turn. The Beggar's Banquet's turn because you guys are also playing on the same night. So this is going to be one hell of a show. And I'm happy to say we have tickets at Far Out Flicks where I work, which is also sponsored Coral FM. I haven't even got to the top five of the week yet. So you're going to be my co-host from here on in. This is what you're going to help me with this too, because I, you know, I have to mention the top five movies of the week. But you are here, and I need to ask you, because you seem to me to be a real musicologist. So how did you get into music? When did you start this whole music mess?
This whole music mess started for me when I picked up an acoustic guitar, only because I couldn't get piano lessons, and I learned how to play a Jimmy Reed lick. And from there, that's where it all started. And I'm dating myself, of course, because back at the time, there was a lot of songs on the radio that used the Jimmy Reed lick in pop radio. Dion used to use that lick quite a bit. And it started from there and never stopped. Okay. Almost an affliction, you might say.
So are you originally from Kitchener?
No, I'm originally from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
East Coasters.
So how long have you been? How long have you been in Kitchener?
Because moved out to Kitchener about 22 years ago now. Approximately
okay.
22 years. Yes.
Okay. And have you played in bands around this area? At all?
Not a lot. I have played, but not really a lot. I traveled extensively, more so than playing locally.
Yeah.
The scene here is extremely tight.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, there's less and less venues all the time. It's good to hear that Maxwell's is opening up because we do need more venues in this area that can accommodate 200 to 300 people, you know, aside from the Starlight and a few other rooms that are available.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting in the next little while because the Boathouse is reopening, Maxwell's is reopening, and there might be a couple other live venues starting up as well, like smaller places like the Rum Runners reopening. I don't know if they're going to have live music or not. These sort of things. So actually, that's kind of on my list of questions. Your take on the evolution of music in Waterloo Region and what the next 5 years looks like. That's one of my last questions. But when you were, who were your personal music heroes growing up? And yeah,
I guess my first real musical hero or heroes would have been Big Bill Brunzi and Washboard Sam.
Okay.
I was at a friend's place, and that record got thrown on the turntable, and I sort of fell into the blues, and that impressed the hell out of me. Just the way it was, the vibe, so on and so forth. Mind you, I moved on very quickly to Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton, Mike Bloomfield, Alvin Bishop, the guitar players, of course, because I was playing guitar.
Yeah.
And from there, it just blossomed out. But Hendrix was a huge influence and still is on a lot of young guitar players coming up.
Yeah, that's true.
He did stuff that nobody else ever did.
Yeah.
And to this day, some of the stuff that you listen to, he did that live off the floor.
How did he do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Trying to avoid the expletives here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell did he do that? You can say that.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that. Should we, and this is your playlist as well, so we can queue up anything you want to listen to. That's not a problem, because I've got the old YouTuber up here. So, you know, if you want to hear some Jimi Hendrix or something like that, we can do, we're doing Mike McDonald's playlist here today.
Okay,
and
well.
Some, you know, and some Rolling Stones and all that kind of stuff. How did you... Okay, so you've been around here for a while. Now, I remember Glenn Peltier from Sticky Fingers years ago when they first started out. In fact, I think I was one of the first people to ever write about the band. And that was what? I think it was the 80s or something like that.
It would have been. Yep.
Mid-80s. And they were, you know, they were quite successful playing around all over the place. How did you meet Glenn? Like, how did you become the Keith Richards? I think he was always looking for Keith. And I.
This is kind of a funny story.
Well, we got time.
I was playing a show in London at the, what are they called? The London Fair, like their version of the CNE. I can't remember what they
call
it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Exposition, London Exposition.
Yep. Yep.
And back in the day, in the 80s, a lot of the bands, I was in a tribute band doing Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, see, I don't know that much about you, except that, yeah, so this is, okay, sorry, go.
And we were doing a double bill with Sticky Fingers, who I'd never met before, and was doing Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, so we're all back in the dressing room, and back in the day, it was very easy for the bands to get one or two cases of beer, so you can the revelry was rather high.
Oh, yes.
We were enjoying ourselves immensely. And Glenn had a broken leg at the time. It was either a broken leg or a sprained ankle. He was in a cast. I do remember that.
Oh.
And he got up and he says, oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to play this show and I can't move around. And, you know, Mick Jagger can't stand still, blah, blah, blah. And they get up there and... Us, of course, we were going on afterwards. I said to the drummer, I said, let's go out there and help him. So we ran out there and we picked him up and became his four legs and danced around the stage for about two or three songs, carrying him around on our shoulders. And Glenn, of course, was in shock and he couldn't do anything but continue singing and playing. The band was doubled over laughing.
Oh,
because here we are dancing around, and it's a room full of people partying, drinking, doing this, doing that, and here's these two idiots carrying Glenn around while he's singing Mick Jagger. Unbeknownst to us at the time, he managed to get his scrotum caught in his blue jeans, and we crushed one of his nuts.
Oh, my God.
And he had to come off and tell us very, very, he said, do you guys realize what you did to me? And I said, no, we were trying to help you out. You crushed my right nut.
God.
And that's how we met. it is a funny story because we were helping him out, not realizing that we were actually putting him through extreme pain. And you can tell in his vocals, they loved the show.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Of course. I guess the pain made him sing better or something. I'm not quite sure how that panned out.
What song was he singing? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't recall. We were too busy drinking free beer. So.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And so you guys have been, playing ever. Well, okay, so he said, what did he say? How would you like to play in the band? How did that come about?
This year, the Beggar's Banquet?
Yeah, Beggar's Banquet.
Just over 2 years ago, walked into a club and. He walked and said, Mike, this has been said to me a few times because of the wrinkles. You know, you look like you could be a Keith Richards. And I went, yeah, I guess I could. And I just finished reading Keith Richards' book, Life, and got right into it. I really enjoyed the book. It was very well written and a very articulate writer, very articulate man. And I said, yeah, I think I'd like to give that a shot. I live here, and it's local, something we can put together. And, the rest is history. We just sort of moved on from there. Our first real gig was at the embassy here in Waterloo. I think they closed the week after, not because of us, but the embassy didn't last that much longer. And then Kevin approached Glenn and said, would you like to play at the Boathouse?
Yeah.
So we played the Boathouse August 24th, 2 years ago, which was my birthday. And from there, Kevin gave us a gig, pretty much one a month, and we started playing there, and that's where we really started working things out. And here we are.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You guys are a lot of fun to watch. It's great. And you and Glenn on stage have this really amazing chemistry, I have to say. For this Saturday, do you have any surprises up your sleeve? Your sleeves? Puffy shirt sleeves? I don't know what you're wearing. But
if we did, telling you would not be a surprise.
Well, yeah, I don't. Or new material or anything like that? Or forget it. Don't ask that question.
Don't ask that question. And you just have to wait and see. Come to the show and see what happens.
Yep, I'll be there. And what time does the show start, just to let people know?
Bob is going to, the doors are going to open at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Bob and Kathmandu, by the way, check him out.
Worthwhile, yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
They are great.
Come and check him out. Bob will be going on at approximately 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Give or take, you know how things flex.
I do.
And we should be on stage approximately 10:30.
Okay. Just to let people know. And it's upstairs at the Wax. It's a 19-plus show, right?
Yeah. Yes, unless you want to sneak in and get caught drinking.
Yeah, no. The Wax is right beside Bobby O'Brien's. It's a pretty cool venue. And I think the last time you were there, I think, oh, yeah, you guys were there with the Crazy Diamonds. That's right. That was quite the night.
That was just 2 years ago. No, a year ago, April.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a very good show, actually.
Yeah.
We were quite happy with that one.
It was
turned
of
out
fun.
Quite well.
It's
Jesse
lots of
did
fun.
A good job on that.
Jesse did a good job. I've got some lo-fi. Speaking of Jesse, a guy, Jack, Facebooked me this afternoon and said, would you play some Lo-Fi Mind on your show today? And I said, yes, I would. So I thought I should play, what do you think I should play? The Ballad of Lo-Fi Mind? I think I'll play that. And then I'm going to play one of Mike's favorites, and then we're going to come back with my special guest, Mike McDonald, on Coral FM from Beggar's Banquet.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was Lo-Fi Mind. And the Ballad of Lo-Fi Mind. We have the one and only Glenn Pelche on the phone. Can you hear that? What the heck?
Are we on now?
Yeah, we are.
Can you hear me?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. I got to do this. Is this on?
Seriously, are we on the air right now? Or?
We're on the air.
Yes, we're on the air right now, Pelche.
Okay, I'm just boarding the number 7 bus at Fairview Mall.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm just heading back from I had a little shoot at Rogers TV.
What happened? Did the limo break down?
To promote the Secret Santa campaign toy drive. So anyway, what's going on? You talking to Mike about the gig coming up on Saturday?
I am indeed. I am talking to Mike about the gig coming up on Saturday. And we had a lovely little, he had a lovely little anecdote about how the two of you met. Can you think of any highlights of the two of you playing on stage over the last 2 years, what the craziest night was?
If I could go first, I think the craziest night we had is Mick Jagger and Keith Richards would have been a couple nights down at Grossman's Tavern in Toronto. Things get a little crazy there sometimes. We had a few people rush the stage and sing. And actually, some very interesting people came up and helping us with vocals. Last weekend, it was Kim Doolittle who jumped in and did the high parts in Gimme Shelter and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it just creates a bit more of an excitement for everybody.
I can probably top that.
Okay, go ahead.
How's it coming across on the microphone through the speaker for the listener? Is it okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this predates Beggar's Banquet by some 25 years, but
oh, here we go.
At the Queen's Hotel in Hanover, on a night when I was very ill, my predominant issue was diarrhea.
Oh.
I chose to wear white stage pants, and you can take it from there. I in front of a live audience. There were issues, and I went back to my room and allowed Brad Whitelaw, the guitar player, to continue the vocals. Went back to my room, couldn't abide the show being conducted without me, and so went back down, threw the stage pants on the roof of the Queen's Hotel, put on dark stage pants, and resumed the show.
Oh my God, is the wrong thing to say here.
Wet farts are us.
Yeah, really. What the hell did you eat? It has to be, you know... I guess when you're on the road, like, the food playing on the road isn't so great all the time.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Well, sometimes the food is not all that great. Absolutely not.
Hey, what are you guys... Okay, Glenn's laughing. Who else is in the band? Just to let people know, who else is in the Beggar's Banquet, the lineup, for this Saturday?
We have Corey Turnbull on bass and vocals, Don Featherstone... A local sax player.
Oh, right, yeah. Don's awesome.
Yeah, Don Featherstone on saxophone and vocals. A fellow by the name of Jim Sheffro on drums. And last but not least, a fellow by the name of Pat Rush on guitar, who comes to us via Jeff Healy and James Cotton and a number of people. He's toured. He's from Georgia, so he's a southern boy, and he's played with a number of people over the years, so...
And Pat Rush was played with Johnny Winter, like in his band.
Yes,
so
he
this
did.
Guy knows, this guy can play southern rock, so he's kind of modified it a bit for the song.
That is great. How did you meet Pat? Yep. How did this all come about?
I met Pat in Montreal. I was playing in a band at a club called L'Arc-en-Ciel, which is the Rainbow, and Pat came over to our club with a fellow by the name of Kenny Neal, who's very well known in the blues circuit down in the States. And they sat down, and I had met Kenny Neal prior to that, so I got Pat and Kenny to sit in with us. We jammed a little bit, had some fun. He said, come on over to our gig tomorrow night. And we went to their gig tomorrow night, and they were backing up Buddy Guy.
Oh, man.
So that's pretty much how we met. And then from then on, we put a band together, did a bunch of stuff, did quite a few recordings, band called Spadina Beat, this, that, and the other. And we've known each other ever since.
So
I was best man at his wedding.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
So have you guys been rehearsing a lot for Saturday? Or?
Well, we rehearse a lot in our minds. Musicians don't really rehearse anymore. They just say they do.
Glenn.
Trying to get a rehearsal, like, this is, I can imagine what Mike's thinking right now, but trying to get this band together to rehearse.
It's like hurting.
It's like trying to get Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin to sit down. It was,
And smoke a joint.
Our greatest challenge is like seeing each other off stage. It's almost impossible.
It almost sounds like herding cats. But, you know...
No, can I change that?
Yeah.
Herding cats or herding kittens? No.
No?
Herding squirrels.
Herding squirrels.
Imagine trying to herd 5 squirrels.
No, I could not imagine that. So a lot of, you know, it's a lot of improv and everything comes together on stage, which is probably why it's so much fun. Is there for both of you, is there a favorite Rolling Stones song you have and why? And is there a Stones song that you don't like?
Glenn, you want to go on?
I like so much of it, but I have to say the stuff that's kind of country-based, I really like Dead Flowers, Let It Bleed.
Oh, yeah.
The Chuck Berry stuff. I'd say that Satisfaction is probably my least favorite song to sing, funnily enough.
And oddly enough, though, when you're a performer and you're doing songs that the people want to hear, quite often the ones that they want to hear are the ones you don't want to play anymore because you are quite fed up with them.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a great point. It's like playing music on the radio. I used to be a DJ myself, Carl, as you know, and
yes.
You get so fed up playing the same stuff over and over again. But you're hearing it far more often than the listener, and the same thing with the audience. I mean, if you don't do Stir Me Up or Satisfaction, you've done them a disservice.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's more fun. It's more fun to play the non-hits. Wouldn't you agree, Mike? Like the funkier stuff that they're not really known for, like Monkey Man or Can't You Hear Me Knocking, songs like that.
I would say right now, Can't You Hear Me Knocking is my favorite.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorites is one that takes me back way back to my childhood, and that was a tune called Tell Me, which was one of their first singles, airplay hits. Actually.
Want you back.
That's the one.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm singing on the bus here. But you know what? No one cares. Welcome to the new Kitchener. No one cares. They've seen it all before.
You're on the... Are you on the number 7 bus? Or are
I'm
you...
on the number 7. I'm at Kinsey. Next off, Kinsey and Obermeyer.
Oh, yep. The good old number 7. I know. I take the bus.
I'm at the back of the number 7 singing Tell Me on CKMS or Sound FM with Coral Andrews and Mike McDonald.
100.3
Sound FM. That is so cool. For both of you, what music are you listening to right now besides the Stones? What music are you liking right now besides the Stones?
Mike, you're going to have to translate.
What music are you liking right now besides the Rolling Stones?
Okay, you go ahead. I'll go ahead, Mike. Get into that one. I'll follow up.
Well, Pat Rush and I are recording an album, so I'm kind of enjoying that mostly. We're including a couple of cover tunes. I picked up a Paul James tune called Lazy Crazy Stayed Out All Night Blues. And then I'm writing some stuff as well. So I would say that's my favorite thing right now. That's what I'm focused on.
Where... I am right now listening to a band called Safe as Houses. And Carl just interviewed them, Elliot Anton and the boys. I think these guys, given their youth, I've written some incredible music with depth and originality, so that's on my list. And I'm listening to, they're not new by any means, but I've discovered, I mean, I should have found out about them years ago, but I've discovered the Rio Statics. It's taken me 20 years to discover the Rio Statics, and courtesy of my girlfriend Emily, I've kind of delved a little bit into that.
Yeah, they're a great band, and I have to agree with you 100% about Safe as Houses as well. Yeah, they're great young kids. Mike, you're recording an album. Where are you recording it? Like, how is this
all coming together? We're doing bed tracks. I have a bunch of bed tracks already done, a bunch of stuff that's pretty much in the can. Recently, we've been recording at Jamie Schneider's new studio downtown.
Yep.
It's an old warehouse, and I like the vibe. You go in there, nice tall ceilings. And Jamie's a bit of an eccentric, which means he fits in well with the rest of us.
Yeah, he's a regular renter at the video store.
Yeah, or is he really?
He's almost in every day.
We've done 4 bed tracks so far at his place, and we're going back in. Hopefully we'll get a couple more beds done before Christmas, but we're all getting very, very busy.
Yeah.
And the target is to have something out for March, April, next year, so that we can go out on the circuit, the blues rock circuit, so to speak.
Yeah, Yeah, because the Blues Fest coming up next year and all that kind of stuff. With, you know, with it, like next week is, you know, December 1st. Would Beggar's Banquet ever do any Christmas type music? You know,
Me personally.
What was the question?
Is Beggar's Banquet ever going to do some Christmas music?
You know, the Beatles did. You know, the Beatles did the Christmas stuff. You know, John Lennon sitting on the bus. They did the Christmas, the Beatles' Christmas message, which was lots of fun. Would Beggar's Banquet ever do anything like that?
Seeing as we don't really rehearse that much, I don't think that's going to happen. we have to rely on our professional abilities as musicians to get through that one. We might do. I don't know. What do you think, Glenn?
We could visit the hospitals and play Rolling Stones Christmas. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of cool. I'm gonna play. You know what? I'm gonna play Dead Flowers, one of both of your favorites. And
this one's in the key of D.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna listen and then I'm gonna go because my stop's coming up.
Okay.
Thanks for having me, Carl, and we'll see you on Saturday, Mike.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
I'll see you on Saturday.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Have a good night. Okay. Bye.
Are you going to the show, Carl?
I am. I will be there.
All right. We'll see you both on Saturday then.
Yes, you will. Coral FM is for Glenn Pelche on the number 7 bus about to get off at this stop.
Take me down, little Susan.
was Dead Flowers, the Rolling Stones, for Glenn Peltier, a.k.a. Mick Jagger, and Mike McDonald, a.k.a. Keith Richards, from Beggar's Banquet. So this is Coral FM, Sound FM, www.soundfm.ca, channel 946 on digital cable, and 100.3 on your analog dial. And just for people, we were just talking during the break. Michael, where can people get tickets for the show this Saturday?
Well, they can get them online through the Bobby O'Brien's, all their various areas. Encore Records, Thirsty's Bar and Grill up in Waterloo, Far Out Flicks, and one other, and I can't remember right now because my mind hurts.
Encore?
Encore Records. Did I say Encore Records?
I don't know.
I thought I did.
Oh, Bobby O'Brien's.
Bobby O'Brien's.
Yeah, Bobby O'Brien's. Yeah. Guitar Corner?
Guitar Corner. That's the one.
Yay,
oh, yeah. Sorry,
Corner.
Dwayne. I forgot about you.
Hi,
yeah,
Dwayne.
Dwayne's actually the Guitar Corner. It's going to be their Christmas staff party. There's only two people that works there, so they're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to know half the audience anyway. It's going to be lots of fun. And, you know, I've gotten to know Bob and the guys from Kathmandu, which is very cool. So I think it's going to be a great show, and tickets are like $10 in advance and $15 at the door, right?
Yep. As Jesse said when he put out the Facebook event, tickets are dirt cheap. You can't miss this one.
Yep, tickets are dirt cheap. Speaking of Jesse, we just played The Bell of Lo-Fi Mind from Lo-Fi Mind Volume 1. Apparently Lo-Fi Mind is working on some new songs. So to be continued. So hi, guys, if you're listening. And then we play Dead Flowers, as I just mentioned, for Glenn, who's on the number 7 bus heading home from Fairview Mall. I think that's hilarious. I love the mobile communication. The other Rolling Stones song we played was Can You Hear Me Knocking, which we started off this segment of the show with. I think that's about all I wanted to mention. Michael is singing what? Thanks for the memories.
Always look on the bright side of life.
And?
Always look on the bright side of life.
That's what I'm going to play. I'm going to end the show off with that, I think. Because, if I'm not mistaken, the next show is up. I'm going to play us out with Monty Python, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, which is a fabulous song.
Could I dedicate this to somebody?
Yes, you can.
I'd like to dedicate this song to Randy Vanney, a very fine bass player. We spent quite a bit of time down in the United States touring, and this was the song that kept us sane.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Thank you so much, Michael McDonald, for being my special guest. I'll see you. And Glenn Peltier for phoning in. I will see you guys on Saturday night. Here's Monty Python on Coral FM, and we shall be seeing you next week on the show. And always look on the bright side of life. Signing off. Sign off.
Some things in life.
Hi.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death.
piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show, keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Records available in the foyer. Some of us got to live as well, you know. All right, it's a lot. Let's get this place up there. He changed his mantle within 3 weeks. What do you think pays for all this rubbish? Never made the money back, you know. I told him. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.